Ulysses S. Grant said, "God does not need great men, but great men need God." We thank you, merciful God, for helping us recognize our need of you in our lives and in our family life. Let us be mindful of this gift as we hurry home this day, and may we use each minute wisely and lovingly with those who have given us to love. May we rejoice for the community we live in, and in the community of faith that we are free to worship in. For you truly are a gracious God. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Barnetts, Bartle, Bray, Callahan, Champion, Clemens, Crowell, Cunningham, Days, Dempsey, Engler, Goodman, Green, Griesheimer, Justice, Kevany, Lager, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Nadler, Pierce, Pergeson, Ridgway, Roop, Schaefer, Schmidt, Scott, Shields, Schumeyer, Stouffer, Vogel, Wilson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Green. Senator from Webster. Senator from the First. The quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 11th day, Wednesday, January 27th, 2010. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment, President Kinder in the chair. Reverend Carl Gock offered the following prayer.
Senator from St. Francois.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You have heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, I have a special guest.
Proceed, Senator.
Mr. President, very honored today to have with us in our chamber on my right and your left a good friend from St. Charles. He is a professor of civics and political science at Lutheran High School in St. Peter's. It's Michael Flandemeyer, and I ask my colleagues to please give him a warm welcome.
We're delighted to have the guests of the Senator from St. Charles with us here today. Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions, introduction of bills. The Senator from Dent.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have four bills.
Send your bills forward, Senator. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill 848, introduced by Senator Barnetts, an act relating to methane from agricultural operations.
Oh, Senator, you must explain.
Thank you, Mr. President. This adds methane as the ability to use for renewable green power.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 849, introduced by Senator Barnetts, an act relating to emergency services.
Senator.
This sets 911 boards as a political subdivision.
Read the third bill.
Senate Bill 850, introduced by Senator Barnetts, an act relating to sewer service for certain annexed areas.
Senator.
No explanation.
Read the fourth bill. Oh, you only had three, Senator.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator from 15th.
A bill?
Send your bill forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 851, introduced by Senator Schmitz et al., an act relating to public notice required for certain meetings of political subdivisions.
Senator.
Mr. President, what this bill would do would be to change the current practice of only giving 24-hour notice in order to take someone's home or to raise their taxes and allowing adequate time for public notice for that endeavor. No further question. No further explanations required, Mr. President.
Senator from Andrew. Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 852, introduced by Senator Lager et al., an act relating to unlawful discriminatory practices in employment.
No explanation necessary. Thank you.
Senator from the 4th.
President, I have two bills.
Send them forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 853, introduced by Senators Keveney and Wright Jones, an act relating to disposition of unclaimed seized property.
Senator.
No further explanation.
Senator from Boone.
He has one more.
Oh, you have one more. Read the second bill, the Senator from the 4th.
Senate Bill 854, introduced by Senators Keveney and Wright Jones, an act relating to the disclosure of police officer identity and investigative reports.
Senator. No further explanation.
Senator from Boone.
Mr. President, I've got five bills and I don't require explanation on any of them.
Wow.
Unless you'd like.
Send your package forward. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill 855, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to heritage, birth, or marriage certificates.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 856, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to persistent misdemeanor offenders.
No. Read the third bill.
Senate Bill 857, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to dangerous felonies.
Read the fourth bill.
Senate Bill 858, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to the crime of failing to return to confinement.
Read the fifth bill.
Senate Bill 859, introduced by Senator Schaefer, an act relating to crimes of assault.
Senator from 24th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 860, introduced by Senator Bray, an act relating to ad valorem property tax rates.
Senator.
Mr. President, this is should be a consent bill. It just allows the school districts to set their tax rate once they have all the information about their assessments, not before they do. Thank you.
Senator from 23rd. Send your bill forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 861, introduced by Senator Dempsey, an act relating to the accreditation of vascular laboratories.
Senator.
I have no idea what this bill does, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. That's great to hear. Senator from the 11th.
Mr. President, I have two bills.
Send your bills forward. Hey. Read the first bill.
Senate Senate Bill 862, introduced by Senator Callahan, an act relating to a local sales tax for the promotion of tourism.
Senator?
Coherent and self-evident.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 863, introduced by Senator Callahan, an act relating to the imposition of a transient guest tax by certain cities.
Motion, Mr. President.
Senator from the first. Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 864, introduced by Senator Lemke, an act relating to the use of automated traffic enforcement systems by political subdivisions.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill would address public safety across our great state. It would ensure that current statute in relations to driving privileges and making sure that we keep the most dangerous drivers off of Missouri roads. Thank you, Mr. President.
The Senator from the ninth.
And Mr. President, I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 865, introduced by Senators Wilson and Kevany, an act relating to parenting coordinators.
Senator.
Mr. President, this bill relates to the appointment of a parenting coordinator as a neutral third party in high conflict cases to assist the parents in resolving disputes concerning parental responsibilities and the implementation of court-ordered parenting plans.
Senator from the fifth.
Mr. President, I have one bill. Thank you.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 866, introduced by Senator Wright Jones, an act relating to hospital patient safety.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill will require our hospitals to establish a patient safety committee to look at how patients are handled, as well as how the staff handles them. Also could lead to the potential reduction of workers' compensation premiums if the hospitals follow the guidelines. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Stoddard.
I have one bill, Mr. President.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 867, introduced by Senator Mayer, an act relating to statutory liens against real estate.
Senator.
Mr. President, this revises the mechanic liens statute here in Missouri so that those that work on construction projects will get paid. Thanks.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Buchanan.
I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 868, introduced by Senator Shields, an act relating to tax incentives for data storage and server farm facilities.
Senator?
No explanation, thank you.
Introduction of bills. Senator from St. Francis. Concurrent resolutions. The Senator from Saline. Sir.
Mr. President, I move that Senate concurrent resolutions 35 and 32 with Senate committee substitute be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye. Aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute.
Proceed, Senator.
We also have some miscommunications here. We distributed a Senate substitute. It was supposed to be a Senate substitute. It was distributed as a Senate committee substitute. What I'm going to do is amend the Senate committee substitute. We had a misspelling of a word. It's in the second line. It says biennial. The Senate committee substitute says biannual. It should be biennial. We're changing an A to an I. And when the amendment gets drafted, I will move for the adoption of the amendment. But what you see on your desk is exactly what we're doing. It's just ignore the Senate committee substitute at the top, and we will amend this to get the right right letter in. Mr. Chairman, on December the 15th or some of that nature, the Missouri Tax Commission recommended increasing the valuation on productivity of the top three levels of productive land, classes 1 through 4, and lowered the taxes on classes 5 through 7. The legislature has an opportunity to either reject this. This resolution rejects that recommendation. I will be glad to.
Getting kind of noisy in here. You can hardly hear the Senate.
The effect of the recommendation is that it increases property taxes across agricultural land by 11.5% across the board. It increases the most productive land by almost 30%. It lowers the least productive land by about 20%. But you're taking 20% of a small number, you're taking 30% of a much larger number, and so the tax increase is something we don't want to do. The governor in his last two State of the State addresses has promised no increase in taxes. I think it's the wrong time to be increasing taxes on anybody. We are in a time of very high volatility in agriculture. And it's just not the appropriate time to do this. With that, I will be glad to answer any questions.
Does any senator wish to be heard? The senator from the 14th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, may I inquire of the senator from Saline?
Does the senator yield?
I yield.
He yields. You may inquire.
Okay, a couple of questions, Senator, and thank you very much, Mr. President. In your initial introduction, you indicated that this piece of paper on our desk is incorrect. In what way? And I did not hear your explanation.
The piece of paper is correct if you ignore the title that says the Senate committee substitute.
So there is no substitute for this?
We intended to have a Senate substitute. It was drafted wrong.
Oh, okay.
And I will amend the Senate committee substitute where the second line, last word, is biennial. Your paper is right. But in the Senate committee substitute, it says biannual instead of biennial. And when that amendment is drafted, I'll offer the amendment.
Okay. Now, substantively, I need to ask a couple of questions about this increase. When was the last time that we had any kind of an increase this is agricultural land, is that correct? We're talking about
it's crop land, unimproved land, yes.
And so, when was the last time that we had an increase of this kind?
It was looked at the last time. It was rejected in 1999.
So before 1999,
right.
We did not have one in 1999.
It was rejected in 99.
So then we have to go back even further than that.
I actually have the history on that. If I could put my fingers on it, go ahead. I'll find it.
Okay. So your contention is that the value of this property has not increased at all. Is that what your contention is?
No, that's not the case at all. The Constitution says that agricultural land will be assessed on its productive value.
Okay.
And my contention is that the productive value has not changed.
So nothing is happening on this land.
Well, we're talking about productivity now. When the commission was given a report by FAPRI, which is Food and Agricultural, I mean, it's a quality organization, but they looked at the value of land and they looked at net farm income. Neither of those things should be considered when you look at productivity. When you look at and there was nothing in the report that looked at yields. But if you look at inputs in 1999, a bag of seed corn was around $75 a bag. Today it's $300 a bag. Anhydrous ammonia was $120 a ton. Today, in 2007 it was $1,000 a ton, and today it's around $600 a ton. We're in a period of very high volatility, and I would contend that our leveling of yield, our increase in yields, has been due to the technology that we have purchased in that bag of seed corn, as opposed to the change in productivity of land.
Well, do you think that perhaps the ethanol mandate that we've had have anything to do with that increase in costs? You know, I guess it was last year, maybe the year before, when we were supposed to ask the university to look into that ethanol mandate, and we talked about corn and wheat and those kinds of things increasing in value, restaurants having to pay more for that, and we didn't really know whether that was would be a result of the ethanol or not. But we did ask, and I do believe it was my amendment, for the university to look into that. I don't know where that is. I don't know if we've done that. And so we're still out here groping in the dark because we really don't know the effects of that.
I think that we could look at this last August of 2009. We produced more ethanol in August of 2009 than we have ever produced, and the price of corn was the lowest it's been in 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
So
when restaurants come to me and say, you know, my corn prices, my wheat prices, you know, I can't make a loaf of bread for the same cost I did 3 years ago, that's not attributable to that mandate. That's what you're telling me.
I don't think there's any way. What the ethanol does contribute to a base level of demand, but we have increased corn production from about 8.5 billion bushels. That's right. Yeah, 8.5 billion bushels up to 13 billion bushels. So we have an increase in production that more than offsets the production we use in ethanol. And my contention then, and my contention now, that it has more to do with world prices. We have a disastrous
world prices.
We have a disastrous fiscal policy in this country right now. The value of the dollar is going down, and when you take a commodity, when the dollar goes down, the price goes up because mm-hmm. that commodity has a certain value. And so we've inflated the value of the commodities in dollars, but in world values, it makes sense.
Clearly the perspective that I'm coming from is that, you know, in our areas, and basically we don't have a lot of farms in my district. We don't have a lot of unused land in my district. And when we would really like to go to the tax commission and say, we don't want increases either. We would love to do that. We would love to say, we want our assessed evaluation to stay where it is or even be lowered. And so it sometimes comes across as if ours goes up, yours stay the same. You come to the legislature and you say, we don't need this increase at this particular time. But someone picks up that additional cost, Senator. And I am of the belief that, you know, people that where I live essentially pick up that cost, and that's, you know, the shift that we're talking about in terms of that from rural to urban. And we've dealt with that with the schools, we dealt with that with a lot of the taxing, you know, formula as it is. I know that this is going to pass. That's not my, you know, I am concerned about that, but I just kind of need to let you know that, you know, some of us would really love to say nope, can't do it, we don't want to do it, we're going to go to the legislation, we're going to tell them to stop it.
Senator, what I really need to do is there's, I know what those assumptions are, and mm-hmm. I think that they really aren't valid, and let me tell you why. What this does is shift value within a county. And when you have zero farmland, it doesn't affect you at all. We have taken property tax out of the formula. When we froze the property taxes within the formula, when we pass the new formula.
The agricultural formula? Are you talking about
schools? I'm talking about the school formula.
Oh, no. Schools, that's off the table now because we now have a different formula.
Right.
And I understood that.
And the only state property tax that we do is for the blind and, I can't remember the name of that fund, but there's a very, it's an infinitesimal amount of money that we actually deal with, you know, on the state level. So what happens in Saline County has no effect on what happens in your county.
Well, I think overall, if you're not drawing in any additional funds that go into perhaps general revenue, I do think it does affect that.
Well,
it may be minuscule.
It doesn't have anything to do with general revenue.
Well, where does this?
This is property tax.
Property taxes goes to the county?
Yes.
Okay.
It's schools and counties. It's local government. I had another really good thought there. I just lost it. But
I have that effect.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to point out is that my house is assessed on the same rate as your house is. In other words, mm-hmm. when they assess my house, it's assessed residential just like yours is. When our machinery is assessed at a percentage of valuation, and it moves up.
Mm-hmm.
Grain bins, grains, cows, horses, anything, all of our personal property is assessed exactly the way yours is.
Okay.
And when yours changes, ours changes. The difference is that the Constitution says that cropland will be assessed on its productivity. And that's where I think the rub is. The other thing I would point out is that for the most part, farmers don't have class one land and none of the rest. They have most 65% of the land is class five and lower. And 35% is
class the same thing as grade?
What's that?
Is the class the same thing as grade?
Yes.
Because I'm looking
yes.
at, great. It says grades one through seven.
They changed one through seven.
One through
But there's eight grades.
Seven. Okay.
And so the difference is that's on productivity. The bad part of that is if you're a school district in a county that has just class five and lower, you just lost 20% of your valuation.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought behind what that is that the livestock producers are really under tremendous stress right now. And so, you know, there's argument that productivity is not there. The other side of that is, though, that the feed for that livestock is in the top four grades. And so when you increase the cost of production up here, you're increasing the cost on those that are just struggling along. And so
I don't think that they give feed costs based on the grade, do they? They don't do that. Your feed's going to cost what your feed's going to cost, right?
When you increase property taxes on class one land at some point, or the top four classes, at some point, that is going to be, that's part of the cost of production, and it's going to move into the end consumer.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying that when you...
60% of our grain is consumed by livestock.
But when you purchase your grain, it's not... I'm not going to purchase a certain kind of grain for a certain grade of land. I'm purchasing grain across the board, right?
Sure, but
okay.
It's in the cost of production.
I understand that. I understand that part. The last question I had is, what do you think the rationale for the tax commission recommending that? You know, because I think if I am understanding their role, you know, they look at all of this and they determine if an increase is needed or not. And so I'm just curious as to why you think they made that recommendation.
It was a 3-2 vote. And my contention is, I mean, but each one of us, the legislature and the tax commission, has a role to play in this. That's the way it's set up. Mm-hmm. They have done, and I'm not bashing the tax commission. They made a decision. My contention is that they made their decision on the wrong information.
And who provides them with that information?
FAPRI. There's a formula that FAPRI uses. And it's a long, complicated formula. But nowhere in their presentation did I see anything on yields. Now, I was not there, so I don't want to absolutely say.
Okay.
But if you're talking about productivity, I would think you would look at yields.
Okay.
But everything in there was about value of land and about net farm income.
Mm-hmm.
And those are not the issues. Those are not the factors that you should be looking at productivity on. My other argument is that had they looked at yields, the majority of the increase in yield is going to be a difference in technology, not a difference in productivity of the land.
Well, I know that is going to be kind of an up and down for you know, members of our caucus, we have some that will, that the prices will go up, and some of them the prices will go down. So I'm very sensitive to that. But, you know, my purpose of inquiring with you is, you know, I have to represent my constituency. And I know that, you know, when they hear that, you know, they can come to the legislature, some groups can come to the legislature, and they can, no, nope, we're not going to have that increase. And they want me to come up here and say, okay, you go up there and you tell those people we don't want our evaluation to go up either. So I'm doing my job that they sent me here to do.
My job is to explain to you that what we're doing here has no effect on your constituency.
And you're trying to do your level best, but I'm going to tell you, perception-wise, it doesn't fly in my area, Senator. So thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thanks, Senator.
Mr. President, Senator,
I have an amendment.
From Saline. Please send the amendment forward.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the amendment. And I want to explain again, I guess.
Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Stouffer, to amend Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolutions Numbers 35 and 32 as printed in the Senate Journal on January 27, 2010, page 174, line 36, by striking the word biannually and inserting in lieu thereof the following, biennially.
Senator from Saline, would you care to explain your amendment?
Option amendment. All it does is change the letter A to an E. It was an error in drafting.
Senator from Saline has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator from Saline, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Saline renews his motion for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment 1. Senator from Saline.
Mr. President, I move for the, I'd like to close on my substitute.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 35 and 32? Senator from the 24th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To speak against the resolution.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. This resolution is just a product of election year, sky is falling scenario. What's being proposed here is a very modest increase in an area of taxing that hasn't been increased in a long, long time. 86 cents on the acre on productivity when you're producing hundreds of bushels of corn is not a huge increase. But more troubling is the shift that this resolution, the effect of this resolution will have on the taxpayers, the property taxpayers, in that the individuals in their residences, the business people in their commercial property will have to take more of the burden and shoulder more of the burden of supplying the taxes for the services in these areas. So as long as we continue to hold agriculture harmless in terms of increasing taxes very modestly on occasion over the decades, every once in a while a little tax increase, modest tax increase for agriculture productivity would not send the industry into a tailspin of decline, as indicated by proponents of the resolution. I just think it's bad public policy to continue to shift the burden to the residential owners and the commercial owners, make them shoulder more of the responsibility for the property taxes in their counties, and providing more of the services. I don't know. We have a very, very a tax policy that's very, very favorable to agriculture, and this just makes that even more weighted in agriculture's favor when they're held harmless for the increases in productivity and can't even take up a
a very, very modest tax increase. So again, this is not fair to the residential and commercial property taxpayers in the areas, and I would urge the General Assembly to reject this resolution and be fair to all taxpayers, not just favor agricultural taxpayers. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the committee substitute? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Saline has renewed his motion for adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 35 and 32. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate Committee Substitute, Senator from Saline.
I now move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Current Resolutions 32 and 35 be read a third time and finally passed.
Senator from Saline has moved that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 35 and 32 be read a third time and passed. Secretary, please read the title. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Close.
Senator from Saline renews his motion. Secretary, please read the title and call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolutions 35 and 32 relating to the disapproval of the Missouri State Tax Commission's recommendations regarding the value for each grade of agricultural and horticultural land based on productivity capability. Senators Barnetts, Bartle, Bray, Callahan, Champion, Clemens, Crowell, Cunningham, Days, Dempsey, Engler, Goodman, Green, Griesheimer, Justice, Keaveney, Lager, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Nadler, Pierce, Pergeson, Ridgway, Roop, Schaefer, Schmidt, Scott, Shields, Schumeyer, Stouffer, Vogel, Wilson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from Jefferson. Senator from Jefferson votes aye. Senator from Cape. Senator from Cape votes aye. Thirty ayes, 3 noes, the resolution having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Without objection, let the journal show the titling of perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from St. Francis.
President, do we have messages from the House?
We do have messages.
Should you have those read?
Secretary, please read the messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolutions 7, 3, and 17, entitled Relating to the Disapproval of the Missouri State Tax Commission's Recommendations Regarding the Value for Each Grade of Agricultural and Horticultural Land Based on Productive Capability, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, could we go to reports for standing committees?
Reports of standing committees.
And I would recognize the Senator from 34th.
Senator from Buchanan.
Are we on the order of business reports standing committees?
We are.
I have a report from your gubernatorial appointments committee.
Please send the report forward.
Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan.
I would ask unanimous consent that it not be read, and would ask unanimous consent to make a motion to approve for the adoption of the committee report. These are gubernatorial appointments. The entire list has been distributed and upon your desk.
So I need to repeat that whole thing? Senator from Buchanan has asked for a waiver of the reading and that all reports be taken up in one motion. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, the request is granted.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for the adoption of the committee reports. Again, the list is on your desk. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Senator from Buchanan has moved for the adoption of the report. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator from Buchanan, you recognize close.
Another great round of gubernatorial appointments. I renew my motion.
Senator from Buchanan has renewed his motion. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the motion from the Senator from Buchanan.
We are on the order of business reports to standing committees. Senator from the second, your report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Small Business, Insurance, and Industry has a report.
Send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Small Business, Insurance, and Industry, to which was referred Senate Bill 618, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Roop, Chairman.
Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate go to the order of business announcements, and if you'd recognize me for an announcement.
Announcements. Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you. Here's what we're going to do. Go to second readings, and for those of you last week that didn't listen to my announcement, that means we can go. Good answer, if you want, and then we'll go to that. So that's it. You all have a good weekend. Thank you, Mr. President.
Announcements, Senator from the fifth.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd just like to make an announcement that outside of my office, there are the most wonderful strawberry and whipped cream cupcakes in honor of my 60th birthday, which will come on Sunday. So please avail yourself of these goodies before the end of the day. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Senator. Further announcements? Seeing none, Senator from Buchanan, do you have an announcement? Okay, Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let's go to the order of business, second reading of Senate bills.
Second reading of Senate bills. Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire of the Senator from St. Francis?
Does the Senator from St. Francis yield? He does. Proceed.
I just want to, I mean, you go to this and you just, like, this is no big deal, okay? What I'm getting ready to do. Now, it's true. The process is that we have vetted and made these decisions. Okay, Secretary of the Senate has a copy of this. She reads the bill, but at any given moment, I could change my mind and vary from this list. Now, I haven't done it for a number of years, but I could, so.
It could happen.
Just want to make everybody clear.
I appreciate it.
This is not just, you know, boilerplate stuff here, so.
No, see, everybody, there's half of the Senate that stayed around on edge on the last day of the week. Instead of going home, they're waiting for your pronouncements. Thank you, Mr.
Senate Bill 816.
Senate Bill 816, an act relating to interest on overpayments of taxes.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 817.
Senate Bill 817, an act relating to the Missouri Homestead Preservation Act.
Government Accountability and Fiscal Oversight. Senate Bill 818.
Senate Bill 818, an act relating to initiative and referendum petitions.
Financial, Senate Bill 819.
Senate Bill 819, an act relating to leave for members of the Civil Air Patrol.
Jobs, Senate Bill 820.
Senate Bill 820, an act relating to pedestrian control signals.
Transportation, Senate Bill 821.
Senate Bill 821, an act relating to illegal drug use of applicants and recipients of temporary assistance for needy family benefits.
Health and mental health, Senate Bill 822.
Senate Bill 822, an act relating to seat belts.
Transportation, Senate Bill 823.
Senate Bill 823, an act relating to a state and local sales and use tax exemption for data storage.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 824.
Senate Bill 824, an act relating to diseased animals.
Agriculture, Senate Bill 825.
Senate Bill 825, an act relating to prohibiting the interchange of anti-epileptic drugs.
Health and mental health, Senate Bill 826.
Senate Bill 826, an act relating to the imposition of a sales tax by ambulance and fire protection districts in certain counties.
Jobs, Senate Bill 827.
Senate Bill 827, an act relating to the extension of certain county taxes.
Jobs, Senate Bill 828.
Senate Bill 828, an act relating to mental health duties of certain county counselors.
Health, Senate Bill 829.
Senate Bill 829, an act relating to nuisance abatement ordinances.
Jobs, Senate Bill 830.
Senate Bill 830, an act relating to county ordinances establishing minimum standards for residential occupancy.
Jobs, Senate Bill 831.
Senate Bill 831, an act relating to establishing county curfew hours.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 832.
Senate Bill 832, an act relating to the Large Carnivore Act.
Agriculture, Senate Bill 833.
Senate Bill 833, an act relating to board meetings of corporations.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 834.
Senate Bill 834, an act relating to the liquidation of certain domestic insurance companies.
Small business, Senate Bill 835.
Senate Bill 835, an act relating to charter schools.
Education, Senate Bill 836.
Senate Bill 836, an act relating to intoxication-related offenses.
Judiciary, Senate Bill 837.
Senate Bill 837, an act relating to fraudulent transactions involving motor vehicle documents.
Transportation, Senate Bill 838.
Senate Bill 838, an act relating to charter schools.
Education, Senate Bill 839.
Senate Bill 839, an act relating to the imposition of penalties on holders of gaming licenses.
Ways and Means, Senate Bill 840.
Senate Bill 840, an act relating to tax incentives to attract sporting events to Missouri.
Government Accountability, Senate Bill 841.
Senate Bill 841, an act relating to Memorial Highway designations.
Transportation, Senate Bill 842.
Senate Bill 842, an act relating to the MoHealthNet Division's authority to collect from third-party payers.
Small business, Senate Bill 843.
Senate Bill 843, an act relating to the property tax credit.
Government accountability, Senate Bill 844.
Senate Bill 844, an act relating to contracts for purchasing, printing, and services for statewide elected officials.
General law, Senate Bill 845.
Senate Bill 845, an act relating to uniformed and overseas voters.
Financial, Senate Bill 846.
Senate Bill 846, an act relating to lost and unclaimed property.
Veterans Affairs, Senate Bill 847.
Senate Bill 847, an act relating to delivery and counting of absentee ballots.
Financial, Senate Joint Resolution 38.
Senate Joint Resolution 38, a joint resolution relating to the adjournment of the legislative session.
Financial, Senate Joint Resolution number 39.
Senate Joint Resolution 39, a joint resolution relating to the membership of the State Board of Education.
Education. Mr. President, I'd like to thank the Senator from the 1st for sticking around for this very important work.
Senator from St. Francis.
Mr. President, no further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate stand adjourned until Monday, February 1st at 4 p.m.
You heard the motion from the Senator from St. Francis. Does any Senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
Close.
Senator renewed his motion that the Senate stand adjourned until what time? 4 p.m. February 1st, 2010. As many of the opinion motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate is adjourned. Thank you.